The light came in through the shutters at 6:30, already warm, the way it does in August when the city is still shaking off the night. I lay there for a minute, listening to the first calls of the day, the clatter of a cart on the street below, the distant hum of the TGM starting its run. This was it, my last full day in Tunis before the coast road. And I wanted to spend it the way I'd learned to live here, slow, with food, and with the past close to the surface. I had a coffee at the little counter place near the flat, the one where the man knows my order now, and the coffee costs about 1.5 dinars, which is maybe 50 cents. I've been here less than a week, and already the small recognitions feel like currency. I sat on the plastic stool and watched the street come alive, the baker stacking his flatbreads, the taxi drivers arguing over a fare, a woman in a bright headscarf negotiating with a fruit seller over peaches. Ordinary Tunis. The kind of ordinary I've been craving. Today I was finally going to do the Bardo Museum properly. I'd had a quick pass on my first day, jet-lagged and overwhelmed, and it felt like a crime to leave Tunis without giving the mosaics the time they deserve. So I took the metro, the little light rail that rattles through the city, and paid my ticket at the station kiosk, cash as always, about 1.50 dinars. The ride itself is part of the experience. The carriages worn and warm, the windows open, the city passing in slices. The Bardo is housed in a 15th century palace, all arched courtyards and carved ceilings, and it holds what I'm told is the world's largest collection of Roman mosaics. The thing you have to understand about these mosaics is that they're not just floors. They're the walls and the ceilings, entire rooms covered in tiny stone cubes assembled into gods and monsters, hunting scenes and sea creatures, the faces of people who lived here 2,000 years ago. The detail is so fine, so alive, that you forget you're looking at stone. I stood in front of one enormous piece, a depiction of Neptune in his chariot, surrounded by dancing nymphs and sea beasts. The colors, ochres and deep blues and the red of the pottery, are still sharp. I know what it is to leave a place and have it only live in memory, and there's something humbling about the way these Roman mosaics survived not just the fall of an empire, but the centuries of neglect and the earthquakes and the new cities built on top of the old ones. The ticket was about 16 dinars, $5, and worth every millium. The museum was cool in a way the outside wasn't, the thick palace walls holding the night's stillness. I wandered through the rooms with just a few other people, mostly Tunisian families and a couple of European tourists, all of us quiet in the face of so much history. I read about how the Bardo was built on the site of a Hafsid palace, and how the Ottomans extended it, and how the mosaics were hauled here from the ruins of Carthage and other Roman sites across the country. It's a strange thought that the same floor a Roman walked on is now under a glass case in a museum, and that I, a person from nowhere in particular, am looking at it with my own eyes. By the time I came out, the sun was high, and the city was shimmering. I walked back towards the Medina, not to buy anything, but to be in it. The souks are loud in the middle of the day, the vendors calling out, the smell of spices and leather and sweat. I didn't have a plan. I just let the narrow streets pull me along, past the stalls selling the red felt Czechia caps, the ones they still make by hand in the grand souk de Czechias, though it's a dying craft. I stopped to watch a man shaping a cap, his fingers moving with a rhythm that must be 100 years old. I found a small, unassuming place for lunch. A plastic chair, a paper napkin, a bowl of labubai, the garlicky chickpea broth that the city runs on. It cost about 3 dinars, $1, and it was the most comforting thing I've eaten all week, the chickpea soft, the broth sharp with harissa, the bread torn and soaked. I ate it with a plastic spoon, watching the Medina flow past, and I thought about how food is the most honest entry point into a culture. You can fake a lot of things, but not the way a grandmother makes soup. After lunch, I walked up towards the Zidona Mosque, the heart of the Medina since the 8th century. I didn't go inside, but I stood at the edge of the courtyard and looked at the columns, some of them recycled from Roman Carthage, and thought about how time is a palimpsest here, how every layer of this city is built on the last one. The mosque's minaret is still the tallest thing in the Medina, and the call to prayer, when it comes, is the sound of the city's heartbeat. In the afternoon, I went back to the flat to pack a little, to to sort the paperwork I'd accumulated into a folder. The carte de séjour application is still sitting with the police, and the bank attestation is safe in my passport, and I have a ticket for the bus south in my pocket. It's funny how a life is a collection of documents, a visa stamp, a bank card, a rental contract. But it's also the faces you remember, the man at the cafe, the woman in the bakery, the taxi driver who told me about his daughter's exams. For my last evening, I took the TGM to La Marsa, the seaside suburb that's been my accidental favorite. I sat on the corniche and watched the sun drop towards the water, the gulls calling, the families out on the sand, the whole summer world of Tunis on display. I had a breek and a lablabi for dinner, one last time at a little place I'd found a few days ago, the fried pastry cracking open to reveal the egg and tuna, the bread on the side, the harissa on the edge of the plate. It cost about 8 dinars, $2.50, and it was perfect. I didn't go to the Carthage festival tonight, even though I could have. I heard it was another good night, Sami Yusuf, and then maybe someone else, the old Roman theater packed with people. But I wanted my last night in Tunis to be quiet, a slow walk back from La Marsa to the train, the sea breeze on my face, the lights of the city spilling across the dark water. I think there's a difference between seeing a place and being in it, and I'm starting to learn that difference. I walked along the corniche until the sky went the deep blue of the hour after sunset, then took the TGM back to Tunis. The train was full, people heading home from the beach, from work, from the festival in Carthage, their faces lit by phone screens. I watched the city slide past the window, the palm trees and the apartment blocks, the streetlights coming on one by one. This is the last time I'll see it for a while, and I wanted to hold it. Back near my flat, I stopped for a mint tea at a cafe, the glasses of tea with pine nuts, sweet and hot, about 2 dinars. I sat at a table on the pavement and watched the evening go by, the boys kicking a football, the old men playing cards, the smell of grilled meat from the restaurant down the street. I thought about what I'd done in these 6 days. The bank account, the SIM card, the flat, the certificate, the first taste of the city. But more than that, I thought about what I'd learned. Tomorrow I take the bus south, following the coast road towards Djerba. The plan is to feel the sea breeze as August heat gives way to October calm. But tonight I'm still in Tunis, and Tunis is still in me. The Medina is loud, and the paperwork moves in its own time, and the coffee is strong, and the mosaics will outlast all of us. And that's the thing, I think, about starting over somewhere. It's not about the checklist, it's about the moments in between. Aslima, Tunis. I'll be back. The bus will come at 7 in the morning. I'll have my folder, my passport, my worn sandals. I'll be heading south with the sun at my back. But I know already that the city will pull me back, the way Carthage pulls everyone, with its 100 layers of history and its stubborn, beautiful present. For now, that's enough. That's the arc. And I'm ready. This is Rania, and I'm on the road. Until next time.